the App Store created a new industry overnight. In dorm rooms and garages, and at major media companies, entrepreneurs invented new apps. John Doerr's venture capital firm created an iFund of $200 million to offer equity financing for the best ideas. Magazines and newspapers that had been giving away their content for free saw one last chance to put the genie of that dubious business model back into the bottle. Innovative publishers created new magazines, books, and learning materials just for the iPad. For example, the high-end publishing house Callaway, which had produced books ranging from Madonna's Sex to Miss Spider's Tea Party, decided to burn the boats and give up print altogether to focus on publishing books as interactive apps. By June 2011, Apple had paid out $2.5 billion to app developers. The iPad and other app-based digital devices heralded a fundamental shift in the digital world. Back in the 1980s, going online usually meant dialing into a service like AOL, CompuServe, or Prodigy that provided a carefully curated walled garden filled with content, plus some exit gates that allowed braver users access to the internet at large. The second phase, beginning in the early 1990s, was the advent of browsers that allowed everyone to freely surf the internet using the hypertext transfer protocols of the World Wide Web, which linked billions of sites. Search engines arose so that people could easily find the websites they wanted. The release of the iPad portended a new model. Apps resembled the walled gardens of old. The creators could charge fees and offer more functions to the users who downloaded them. But the rise of apps also meant that the openness and linked nature of the web were sacrificed. Apps were not as easily linked or searchable. Because the iPad allowed the use of both apps and web browsing, it was not at war with the web model, but it did offer an alternative for both the consumers and the creators of content.